Hi, it's been a long time. How many of you forgot that we had Titus Tuesday last week? Tammy? Seriously. Tammy was seen running down the street pushing Brooke in the stroller when the rest of us were here. So I figured there'd be a lot that forgot. So Tammy gets to practice forgiveness. Well, as Carrie explained last week, that our studies are based off of the verse Psalm 86:11, and Sharon had us recite it this morning. It says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." So our goal this year is to learn more of his ways, and then not just to know it, but as equally important, that we want to live out those truths in our lives. We want lives that are wholly devoted to the Lord, not those that are divided where kind of I want to love the Lord. Is that okay? In a lot of aspects of my life, but there's this thing over here that I kind of want to do my own way. I don't really want that to be subjected to the Lord. Well, when our hearts are divided like that, we're trying to make our life work out our own way. That's basically what it comes down to. We just want our own way. And that's not what God desires in our lives. He wants us to love him and trust him with all of our heart and our souls and our wills. He doesn't want us to have that divided heart that we've been talking about, but a united heart, one that's one with him. And Carrie gave us a quote from Spurgeon, which I just kind of liked. It was kind of picturesque. It talks about how we have a divided heart where it's almost like you have two hearts inside of yourself just fighting against each other for priority in your life. So my prayer for you and for myself would be, Lord, I really want you to take your word and to change me. Help me to be open to seeing you as you reveal yourself to us in Scripture. And he will answer that prayer. You know, sometimes we have this prayer, Lord, make me open to hearing your will. Well, we could decide. You should decide. Lord, I want to come to your word every day. Every day I know that you will teach me something if I am open to hearing it. I am open right now. Whatever you want to say, Lord, teach me. So with that, we'll begin our lesson. And we know that God will teach us and mold us and make us useful for service to him. So as we begin week two with why is my heart divided, I could say, why am I anxious? Why am I depressed? Why am I angry and bitter? Why do I worry about the future? Why am I constantly unhappy? Well, let's look at 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3, and I put the verse on the top of your handout. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by our own glory and excellence. Well, these verses tell us that it's the knowledge of God is what gives us peace, and not just peace, but multiplied peace. Having knowledge, actually knowing the truth about God himself, taking it in, reading it, and actually believing it, that is what gives us peace. I have to say that the other side of this is that our divided heart and that unhappiness and anxiety and every other symptom that we come up with has something to do with having an absence of the knowledge of God, or I could also say having an absence of what is actually true about God in our hearts. Well, we do live in a day and an age where truth is under assault. Many people, probably most people, do not want to believe that there is a right and a wrong. They just don't want to believe that there is any truth. But we know that there is truth. As believers in Jesus Christ, we know that God's word is truth. Let's look at John 17:17. This is a good verse that you could memorize. I think everybody could do that. There's no fancy words in here. John 17:17. You don't even have to memorize the whole verse. You can just remember, your word is truth. That is just about as clear as it comes. God's word is the truth. And you know, Jesus tells us later, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And also, let's look at Psalm 119:160. Psalm 119:160. It says, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. Well, that I find very exciting. The sum of your word, God, is truth. So, Leona, you can tell me if I'm right or not. But I think the sum is what you get when you add up a bunch of numbers together. So, as I was thinking about this, I thought, well, that is so cool. The sum of God's word is truth. So we take all of God's word, and really you have to have all the right numbers to come up with the right truth. You put it all together and you have God's word. The sum of God's word is truth. I thought that was very exciting. But it'd be really beneficial for every one of us to take some time thinking about these verses. All of God's word is truth. Think of that. And every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. It lasts forever. I don't have to worry. Is God's word true for me today and not tomorrow? Well, no. God's word is everlasting. I can trust it today, tomorrow, the next day. No matter what happens, I can trust his word. I just think it would help all of us to go home and actually think about what these verses mean. It's true. There's nothing in God's entire word that is not true. So ask yourself some questions. If God is truth, if God's word is truth, can I believe it? Can I really believe it? Can I trust always in what it says? Always? Can I always obey it? Are there times when it's okay to do and when it's okay not to do what God says? You know, ask yourself just questions that come to your mind regarding these verses. You can also look up some cross-references. I'm sure everybody knows how to do that. Look up cross-references. I'm sure there are quite a few. What do they say? How do they say it differently? How do they say it the exact same way? How many times does the Bible tell us that God is truth? A lot. You know, maybe we should count them up. And just with that knowledge in itself, I think that should convince our hearts that God's word is truth. Well, when we have a divided heart, when we reject God's truth, we may also have a divided heart when we just don't fully believe what it says. And this is probably where many Christians find themselves. Carrie used a phrase last week, and I think it describes it pretty well. They are believers living in unbelief. They know what the Bible says, or at least they kind of know what it says, but they aren't sure enough that they're really going to trust it, that they just can't quite put their faith in it enough to actually live it out. We must, in our hearts and our minds, we have to know exactly and trust fully that God's word is true, because we get ourselves in these situations where life becomes hard. A trial comes into your life, and suddenly you are not sure what you really believe. Okay. I'm very technological. And I scrolled down many pages. Okie dokie. I'm very sorry. We must in our hearts and in our minds be convinced that God's word is true. And if we aren't completely convinced of this, in those tough times, Satan will taunt us, he will condemn us, he will defeat us, he will get the best of us, and he will say to us, "You don't really believe that, do you? That's not what God really says." No, we have to actually work hard. We have to labor. We have to dedicate ourselves to knowing God's word so that when those times come, we can, by faith, believe what God has said. So we have to reject any departure or deviation from what God says. And then that will give us the ability to hold on tight during those really tough times. You know, just recently I read through the book of Job and just kind of reminded myself of everything that happened there. Job had a very tough time. But yet Job was able to remain stable while undergoing tremendous trials. And I ask myself, you know, could I withstand during those trials? Well, could you? You know, God has given us what was written in Job so that we can learn from his experiences, so that we also can have stability during the roughest trials of life. And that's also what Joseph in the book of Genesis did. He held on tight to God, and he knew that God was with him that whole time. In fact, he was able to say to his brothers at the end of the ordeal, you know, and this is after, well, starting at the beginning, Joseph's brothers threw him in a pit, then they sold him into slavery, and then Joseph ends up where basically some really good things happened to him, but then he was accused of doing something that he didn't do. He was thrown into this awful prison where he stayed for years. And then finally he gets out, and he does meet up with his brothers again. And he says to his brothers, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." And that's because he held on tight to what God had told him. He trusted the Lord during that entire situation. He did not waver because he knew what God had told him was true. He did not despair in his situation because he knew that God was true. And he wasn't even angry at his brothers for all the troubles that they caused him because he knew that God is true. Well, the source of our undivided heart is unbelief in God and in his word. And the solution is repentance and a renewed mind. What we need... Okay. What we need is a spirit-illuminated knowledge from the scriptures of who God is. In the verse that's on the top of our page, 2 Peter 1, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God." So we can pray every day. Say, "Lord, open my eyes to help me really see you through your word, so that by knowing you in a deeper and fuller way, I will trust in you, and that I will have peace because of that knowledge of you in every situation." Well, on your handout, I have quite a few verses that tell us something about God and his character and his trustworthiness and his faithfulness. And we're going to read through a lot of these verses, but not everyone, but quite a few of them. And I may not even read all of the verses, but part of the verses. And this afternoon, when you get home, I would encourage every one of you to go through every one of these verses again and think about them. Commit them. Commit yourself to writing some of them down and considering them every day until we get the truth of God into our hearts. These are truths that really need to be fixed in our hearts and in our minds. And we really need to be students of ourselves. Prayerfully ask God to help you see yourself accurately. There are wrong ways that you think about God, and there are wrong ways that you think about yourself that's really causing your heart to be divided, to be anxious, to be depressed, you know, to have panic attacks, whatever it is. It's incorrect thinking about God and about yourself. So what we want to do is transform our way of thinking from the way that we think now to the way that God thinks. And there's a great verse in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from one level of glory to the next." You know, it's taking God's word, looking at it, studying God's word, knowing what it says, and when God says, "Be anxious for nothing," then I say, "Oh, well, I'm being anxious right now. Well, God tells me not to. Well, okay, I am making a choice right now. I will not be anxious." And that's basically how growth happens. I have decided I'm going to do what God says, not what my natural tendency is. I'm going to do what God says. Well, the first one. And when you go home, I would say over and over again, God is always good, always. And that means that he will always meet my genuine needs, always. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." 4:19, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." I'm not going to give you time to look up these verses because we'd be here till noon. But, you know, put a little star or a happy face by a verse that you think is especially good for you. So God's always going to meet my genuine needs. "God will always forgive my sins." Always. 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If that's not one of the best verses in the Bible, I don't know what it is. We are forgiven. We need to believe that. If you live in guilt thinking that you have not been forgiven, then if you have done what this verse says, and you have faith in Jesus Christ and in his word, then you need to believe this. You need to quit allowing yourselves to feel guilty, and you need to believe what God has told us. Believe his truth. Psalm 51, all of it is fantastic. I can't read it. But at the beginning it says, "According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions." And he does. You need to believe it and live in light of that. God is always, always up to something good in my life. Always. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." If you are in a situation where you think your world has gone bad, that is not what God says. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, he says, "I have plans for you, and they are for your welfare, and they are not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Romans 8, I'm just going to read verse 28. "And we know that God causes all things, not some things, all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." You need to believe it. God causes all things to work together for good. God will always love me personally, always. Romans 8 also, verse 35 I'll read, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword separate us? The answer is no. In verse 38 it says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? It is imperative that you believe that. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to Janus from afar, saying, I have loved you, Janus, with an everlasting love. That's what my Bible says. God has loved each and every one of his children with an everlasting love. Do you believe it? God will always give me the grace that I need, always. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And my God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. In 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you. God is always great, always. That means he's always in control of all things. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Isaiah 14:27. The Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? I love that. And I didn't put this verse on here, but I think there's a verse, Amos 3:6. I would call it kind of a negative verse, but I like it because it says something to the effect of, this is the Janus version, if a calamity happens in a city, has not the Lord done it? And sometimes just the way that's stated is good for me. You know, if something bad happens, you know, the Lord has allowed that to happen. And he is with me in that situation, and he is good, and he will take care of it if I believe him and trust him and let him work his purposes. Isaiah 46, the end of verse 10, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish my good pleasure. That is good to know. And God is always present with me. Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. There's no escaping, which is good. God is always with us. Psalm 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you before. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And Jeremiah 23. Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth? That is so good. God is with us always. I don't have to fear being alone. He is with me. And if I feel like I'm alone, then I need to remember this verse and say, I am not alone, because this verse, God tells me right here that he is with me. God is always the same, always. Malachi 3:6. For I, the Lord, do not change. And the end of the Hebrews passage, you are the same. God is always trustworthy, always. 2 Timothy 2:13. Fantastic verse. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. All of us in here have sinned. We've been unfaithful, faithless to God. But he says he remains faithful, even when we're not. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? God is always wise in what he does, always. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. God is wise in all my circumstances in my life. He knows everything. I know a small smidgen. Colossians 2:3. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He has all the wisdom. My wisdom does not compare at all. I need to look to him and trust him. Well, these verses, every one of them are true, and they tell us the truth about God. It is imperative that we not just give lip service to them, but that we actually know them into the inner parts of our heart. We want to know that what God says to us is true. As I said earlier, we have to be students of ourselves. You know, maybe I think God doesn't really forgive my sins. If that's the case, I need to really focus on the verses that speak to that. So you can take this sheet here, and you can either print off the verses, and even those God is always good always things, print them off, write them off, whatever, and dedicate yourself to really studying those, thinking about them, saying, yes, this is true. This is true. I believe it. Read them out loud to yourself every day. Go in your room, shut the door so no one can hear you. You know, whatever you have to do to actually get God's word, his truth, into your heart. Talk about it with your friends. That's one of the best things. Talk about God's word with your friends. Talk about it with your husband. Talk about it with your kids. Talk about it to anybody, to the cashier at the grocery store. They appreciate that. Start this afternoon. You know, if you don't, you'll never do it. So this afternoon, right after lunch, you know, think about these verses. Think about getting God's word into your heart so that it really makes a difference in your life. Say, yes, I believe this. I believe this is true. Well, now I have to tell you some of my favorite verses. It's kind of like the chef's favorites. And right here it says Janice's faves. These are my favorite verses. And if you know me, you know that I say them all the time. Psalm 145:17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. It's one of the best verses in the Bible right there. God is righteous, and he is right in what he does. And that might be scary if it wasn't for the second part of this verse. And he is kind in all his deeds. So when things come up in my life, I say, first of all, God is right. And then I say, and he's kind. He loves me. This isn't like him just hitting me over the head. He is kind in all his deeds. And then my second favorite one is Deuteronomy 32:4. And this is taken out of the New NIV version because it kind of has a little bit of a beat to it, so it was easy to memorize. And it is a song that Moses wrote, so he apparently had music in his soul also. So, but it says, he is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. I just think that's so cool. He is a rock, he's solid, I can trust him. He's solid. His works are perfect. So when trials and difficulties come into my life, I say, God's works are perfect, and all his ways are just. And he is a faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. We have a God that we can trust. But we have to have these truths so embedded in our hearts that when times that are hard come, we know those things to be true. Oh, well, okay. Time moves more slowly at my house than it does here. So, I think I'll just have to close. I have some other things, but we'll just close. But as we progress down life's road, we want to be believers who really know God's word. We want to be known as people who trust in Him. And sometimes times are good, sometimes times are bad. Sometimes we have trials that just come into our lives, and sometimes we have, we've caused the trial ourselves, whatever. But God is faithful in all those times. And God's word tells us everything that we need for life and godliness. But it is up to us to put it into practice. And I do fear that many times we think that going to church is the answer. I just need to go and sit there, and God will somehow magically work His magic in me, and I will know what to do when the next hard time comes. And I just don't think that's really the way God works. The way God works is He has told us, He has given us His word, and His word is everything that He has said that we need to hear. And so we need to go to the Word. We need to look at His Word as the truth. And then we need to do what it says. Chris says, I've never used this analogy here. I don't know, my weather analogy. Okay, well, I made this up for one of my kids once. I made it up. So take it for what it's worth. And I always call it my weather analogy, because to me it shows, do I really believe what the Word says or not? And, we get up in the mornings and we want to know what to wear. So now we check our phones and we see what, what the weather is going to be. So I check my phone. I see it's going to be 95 degrees. I say, oh, great. So I go and I get dressed and I put on a turtleneck, jeans, wool socks, and I grab my winter coat as I head out the door. Did I believe what I read on my phone? Did I believe that it was going to be 90 degrees? No, I did not. I read it, but I did not believe it. And that's sometimes what we do when we go to God's Word. We read it, and then we act like we never saw it. We do something totally different. So that's not what we want to do. When we check our phones and we see that it's going to be 90, we want to dress like it's 90. When we go to God's Word, we want to see what God says. It says, Janice, do not be anxious about anything. So the next time I have a chance when I could be anxious, I say, oh, well, God said don't be anxious. Well, okay, I will trust Him. I will not be anxious. I will just trust Him to work out all those details. So that was... I pray that God uses this lesson just to encourage your hearts, and that you would go home and take a look at some of these verses, read them, and really study them, and we'll see what God does with it. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank You that Your word is true, and You tell us over and over again. Lord, I just pray that You would just work in our hearts and cause us to really believe the truths that we read. Lord, I just pray that You would just grow us in You, that You would make us women who look at Your word and say, yes, that is true. I will follow You and I will do what it says. Lord, I just pray that that would be true in each and every one of our lives. Lord, I just pray for the rest of the morning that You would just be with us. Lord, that You would guide our hearts and our conversations with each other. Lord, I just pray that we would always be an encouragement to one another, to life and godliness. Lord, I just pray, and I just pray that You would just make Your word effective in each and every one of our lives. In Christ's name, amen.